Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Change Agent's Dilemma for Thursday, November 21st, 2013. I'm your host, Heather Stagel, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, as I do once a month on Blog Talk Radio. This show is one of the many ways I help equip individuals and teams to influence organizational change at Enclaria. The Change Agent's Dilemma is how to influence change without authority, and my goal with the show is to share ideas and stories and tools to help you do just that. And today my guest is Molly Brazil, who is here to share how to host team meetings so real change happens. Molly is the owner of, is it Aligned or Aligned? How do you
say it? Aligned.
Aligned, okay, because I know you emphasize the ED at the end for education, I think.
Right.
So Aligned LLC. She brings more than 20 years of adult learning and consulting experience to the field of leader development and organization effectiveness. Molly was AVP of Learning and Development at Nationwide Insurance. As leader of the corporate learning and development team, she designed and delivered executive, director and officer, and management training aligned with the strategic direction of the organization. In 2009, she implemented a program called On Your Side in Action, from the CEO kickoff to all 33,000 associates in online programs. Previously, she served for 11 years as the Director of Product Design and Delivery for Dale Carnegie Training. Molly developed curriculum for Dale Carnegie Training core products like leadership training for managers, in addition to fully customized training solutions for Fortune 500 clients. She represented the organization as a keynote speaker at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and international conventions. Molly, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So the title of our show here is How to Host Team Meetings So Real Change Happens. And so implied in that is this idea that change doesn't always happen on teams when they get together. So what's that about?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you've been to a bookstore lately, but as you walk through the bookstore, you can look in any business section how many books are already written about how to make meetings more effective. And I think if you ask anyone or said to someone, let's schedule a meeting, if you just think about the typical reaction, people roll their eyes or you may hear a groan, right?
Right.
And I think even from my own experience, how many times have we walked out of a meeting, got back, sat down at your desk and thought, you know, I have no idea what's the next action. I don't really know what I need to be doing to prepare before our next meeting. And I think there's just that frustration of we didn't get anything accomplished or I've wasted my time. I think the other thing quickly that I see happen where you think, you know, nothing's really going to change is when, and you may have had this experience too, you watch people nod their head in agreement in the meeting. And then when you leave, you hear them tell a friend or you walk by a break room and you hear them say, yeah, I heard that in the meeting, but we're going to do it this way.
If you're lucky, you hear that.
Yeah, I know. There's just that frustration of I'm busy. There's so much to do. And when we sit in meetings and feel like it's just wasted our time, that nothing's really different as a result, that's what I want to talk about today. How do we make that better?
Okay. So we talk about real change happening on teams. What does that mean? What does it look like?
Well, you know, if you go back to the definition of just change to begin with, it's pretty simple. Change really implies that there's something different. In some way, something's different. So if you think about that in terms of a meeting, what you'd hope is that we spent time together and what's different is maybe we've chosen a new course of action. Maybe we've replaced a step in a process with a new one that we think is better. Maybe there's just been this good exchange of ideas where we see each other's perspectives in a new way. But the ultimate goal is that something is different, something tangible is different as a result of having this meeting. That's really what I mean by real change.
Okay. So instead of just having the same meeting over and over and over where nothing ever gets done, that progress is actually made.
Yeah, you know, if I can share a quick example.
Sure.
One of the things that you mentioned is that I used to head up corporate training for Nationwide. And this has been several years ago, but I'll never forget this experience. It was just frustrated. We were hearing from our associates at Nationwide that they had too many different messages coming at them through the internet, through email. And it was just confusing. They might get a message from the learning and development team, which was my team. And within the same hour, they got a message from marketing. They got a message from strategy. And their frustration was twofold. Number one, too many messages. And number two, we didn't seem to be saying the same thing. So it was just confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, as kind of the leader of that organization, I was going to just take a stab at doing something different. So I invited people to a meeting. So picture a conference room. There's 18 people sitting around the table. We've got a big whiteboard from one end of the room to the next. And I made people walk in to the meeting with a stack of Post-it notes, and I said, write one idea per Post-it note of all the messages and initiatives your department's going to try to roll out this next year. This meeting was in January. So people walked in, they had their little pad of Post-it notes, and the first thing I said in the meeting is, okay, on the whiteboard you can see I've written first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. Take your Post-it note with your messages and plot them out. So imagine 18 people, all these Post-it notes from one end of the room to the next.
And they were all in the first quarter.
Yes, all in the first or second quarter. And here's marketing, here's strategy, here's customer service, here's all these different departments represented. And when we stepped back and looked, there was just this gasp in the room. And we said, no wonder our poor associates are saying, stop the madness. So the next 90 minutes we spent talking about what are these core messages, what do they have in common. And what happened is that in that meeting is people willing to say, you know what, I can shift my approach to this. Or what if we both say kind of the same message or combine some of our emails? It was so fascinating what happened when people could really see the issue that by the end of the 2 hours, people walked out with a new game plan. They're high-fiving each other. And to me, that was one of the best examples of seeing real change happen in a meeting. And the excitement that it created, but even more importantly, how it helped us solve a real problem. So I think if I had to say, what does real change mean and what does it look like for a team, I hope that gives people kind of a good example of what I mean by that.
Okay. And it's not just that teams are doing the work in between meetings, then it sounds like, that the teams are actually doing the work and changing in the process of the meeting. So the way they came in is different from the way they came out.
Exactly.
Great. So what are some of the dynamics involved that prevent change from happening in teams?
Now, I've thought about this. If I could say, I think there's probably a lot of things that are a lot of dynamics involved that prevent change from happening. But if I could give us kind of three buckets of things to think about, it would be these. I think one of the dynamics that happens that prevent change from happening is, I call it purpose. And you've probably experienced this, Heather, as I know many of our listeners have. You walk into a meeting, sit down, and don't know exactly what it is you're there to accomplish in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sets up a really challenging dynamic. If you don't know what the target is you're there to shoot for, that's a problem. right out of the gates. It's not as likely something's going to happen or a real change is going to occur if you don't know exactly what it is you want to accomplish in the first place. So the first bucket or area I think about is just that. What's our purpose? A second area is process. I see so many people come in, you sit down, you've got an hour, and when does the best conversation start to happen? It's usually about 10 minutes before it's time to go. What that tells us is there's not been a good process of how to use that time to begin with. So I think process is a second area that creates a dynamic that can determine whether real change happens or not. And then the third area I would say is people. Number one, do I have the right people in the room? I think all of us have experienced this, and that you sit there, you've had great conversation, you turn around and say, but the decision maker or the people who could make these things happen isn't even here. So do I have the right people in the room? Have I heard from everybody in the room? So the whole thing about the people dynamics and are people willing to come forth and share their opinions and their ideas, I think that's the third big area that we need to look to when we talk about what might keep change from happening in the first place. So purpose, process, and people.
And conveniently, they all start with P.
I tried to think of a way to make it a little more memorable. And I think that's really true.
Yeah, no, it is. So then, and maybe you've answered the same question, but maybe this might get into a little bit deeper detail. What are the necessary elements of an effective meeting then?
You know, I was on an airplane, coming back from a business meeting the other day, and I had purchased a copy of the Harvard Business Review. It's the October issue. And as I'm flipping through, kind of looking for articles, I found an article called "The Rethinking the Decision Factory." What kind of struck me is that it said, today so many of us are doing knowledge work. Many of us are not producing a widget or a product. We're really doing more knowledge work. And it said sometimes we're lulled into thinking that we don't manufacture something. But the truth is we really do. What we're really manufacturing are good decisions, that we should be coming into meetings with data, information, experience, but we should be coming together then to take all that information and produce good decisions that help our businesses or our customers do things better, more efficiently. And I really thought about that. What are the necessary elements then? If I'm in a meeting and we want to manufacture better decisions or better outcomes, it comes back to those three areas I talked about a moment ago. Come in with a good purpose in mind. And I think a good way to do that is, you know, you've got a good purpose in mind if you can say in 10 words or less, what's different as a result of this meeting? So whoever's calling the meeting, whether you're the one that has ultimate authority or not, if you can answer that question, we're going to have a meeting today for an hour, 2 hours, or 90 minutes. So in 10 words or less, can you state, what's different as a result of this meeting? If you can do that, you've got a really good purpose in mind. A second thing I think that's a key element in an effective meeting is to have some kind of opening and even accountability. I think a great question to ask at the beginning of a meeting and to get everybody to participate is, what's changed since we last met? You know, since we talked about this topic last, or since we met on this issue, what's changed? Kind of a quick check-in, because one thing we know about business today is reality keeps changing. And I think sometimes we start meetings assuming or picking up where we've left off. So in good process, I think it's having good questions to ask. In fact, Heather, there's a form I think I've mentioned to you before that perhaps you could make available to folks who are listening after this broadcast today?
Yes.
The form comes from a program I teach called Fierce Conversations. It's right out of the book written by Susan Scott. The book has the same name, Fierce Conversations. And it talks about what's a good process for a team that's really trying to drive change or bring about a new outcome. And here are some questions, and they're in a particular order for a reason. If I can take a moment, I'd just like to read what those questions are.
Sure, go ahead.
So the first thing Susan Scott recommends when you bring a team together, you've talked quickly about what's changed since we last met, so you bring good reality into the room. She says the first question to get people really focused in on is, what is the issue? What's the problem we're trying to solve? This is where that in 10 words or less, what are we trying to accomplish today that ties back to our big overarching outcome or issue, we should be able to answer that question. What's the problem we're trying to solve or the opportunity we're trying to take advantage of? And we should be able to say that in 10 words or less. The second question, she says, that follows that is then, so what? What's at stake if we don't resolve this issue? Or what's the missed opportunity if nothing happens? So it's not just the what, but it's the why. So mm-hmm. I love that second question, what's at stake? And then the third question that kind of refocuses the conversation is this one. What specific results do we want? And this isn't about how we're going to get the results, but this is what does finished look like? What's going to be different? And so this could be, how are we going to reduce the cycle time in a process? This could be, how are we going to return to optimal staffing levels? But it's, what is it that we're really trying to achieve? What's our ultimate outcome? And paint a picture of that. What's different? And then the next question to ask is, so if that's what we're trying to do, what's some relevant background information? Maybe what have we tried before? What are some of the forces at work that are out of our control? In other words, what we're trying to get a good picture of is, what does current state look like and how did we get here? And all of these questions, the first three may be primarily focused by the leader. But when we get to background information, we can start to invite more conversations so we're hearing it from multiple points of view. And once we talked about background information, she suggests that the next thing we do is, even if you're the leader or you're representing the leader for this meeting, is to talk about what are the options currently being considered. You know, I don't know about you, Heather, but I've experienced this where the leader invites everybody into a meeting and they tell you they want their ideas, but they've really already made up their mind what they want to do. That's so frustrating. And people can smell that a mile away. And so when you walk out of a meeting like that, most people would say, you know, why did they waste our time in the first place? And there's no ownership. I heard a phrase one time that makes me think about that. They said, nobody ever washes a rental car. Isn't that a great phrase? So if you walk out of a meeting and you feel like those decisions are already made or the plan's already in place, then don't bother. So I think that's why I really like this question, either what's been considered, what's the leader thinking, is this really open for new ideas? It's a place to really call that out.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
And then the final question that Susan Scott recommends is, finish these series of questions by saying to the group again specifically, what are you asking of the group? Give them time to think. So are you really asking them to just exchange ideas from where they sit? Are you asking them to generate potential solutions? But be real clear. What is it that you're asking the group to do? So that was a long-winded answer, but it's a way for me to talk about process. That's just one recipe for walking in with a game plan for how to put all the really important elements on the table right up front so we get people focused. And they're not playing that guessing game of, well, have we thought about this or talked about that? Yeah. I think that's why I like that template so much. It really puts all the elements out on the table in a clear and concise way.
Yeah, I like that approach. So I'll take the form that you sent me, and I'll make sure it's included in the blog post that's related to this episode. So
great.
Where people can listen to it, they'll be able to find a link directly to the form
okay,
on the blog.
Okay, great.
So what are some other techniques that change agents can use to facilitate more effective meetings?
One of my favorites, and I'm new to the game, but it's an organization called the Grove or Grove Consultants, and they're in California. And they've written a book that I would really recommend picking up a copy of. It's called Visual Meetings, and the author is David Sibbett. What I really like and what I think is a great technique for change agents in meetings is in whatever way you can, make ideas visual. Flip chart responses. Flip chart ideas, because there's so many times in meetings where somebody will say, hey, Joe, can you say that again? Remember earlier in the meeting you talked about? It's really hard sometimes to keep people focused on options when we can't see them. But how many times in a meeting have you been able to point back to a flip chart or a whiteboard? It's like my example, when people stepped back from the whiteboard and looked at all the post-it notes. It was the visual element of that that I think really gave people pause. So I think effective change agents find ways to make ideas visual and keep them in the room. Another idea that I think can be helpful to change agents is sometimes the person who's not speaking up in the meeting has the very best idea. Have you ever noticed that, Heather, to be true? So there's something that Susan Scott says also in Fears that I've really adopted and I've seen it work so many times. She said, when you're going around a circle or a table in a meeting and you say to people, okay, I want to hear from everybody, and you go to Joan and say, Joan, what do you think? And Joan says, I don't know. We've all experienced that, right? Or I don't have any ideas. I love what Susan Scott suggests. She says, say to that person, what would it be if you did know? If you had to take a stab at it, where would you start?
That's a great question, too.
Isn't that awesome? So I can't tell you how many times I've tried that in a meeting, and doggone it, it was right there all along. Once they start speaking, they do have a point of view. And often because they've been sitting back and taking a lot of things in, maybe processing a little bit differently, their contributions can be so valuable. Or even at a minimum, we now know or have a better idea of where that person stands.
Mm-hmm. So is that what you would recommend for, you know, if someone is facilitating a meeting and everyone's sort of discussing things and you notice that people are quiet, or certain people are quiet, would you recommend going around the room one person at a time? Or are there other ways that you can draw people out?
I like to draw people out by going around the room is just one technique, and sometimes depending on the environment, if I can tell I'm with a group that's really struggling, and for whatever reason, maybe it's leader dynamics, or maybe it's people in the room and people feel afraid to speak up, I often take a beach ball with me, and I know that sounds really silly, but I hold up a beach ball, and what I describe is that everybody seated around that table has their version of the truth, and that the best way for us to move forward or make a decision or give good advice about a direction is it's only good if we've seen everybody's stripe on the ball. And sometimes that's helped me tease out the fact that people think, oh, my idea is not as important, or I can't contribute in the same way. But when you help them see, yes, you're holding a point of view that the rest of us may not have, and we don't have the whole picture unless we see it, that sometimes that visual has helped me tease out other people's ideas.
So do you then actually pass the ball around? Or is it
I had that happen one time quite by accident. I was holding a beach ball in my hand, a small one, and I talk with my hands. I'm doing it even right now. You just can't see it. And I held the ball out, and a person sitting to my right thought I was passing it to him. And so he said, then I'll go first. And then he passed the ball to the next person, and they passed it to the next person. It happened quite by accident.
Yeah.
It ended up being a great way to tee up the conversations.
Right. So whoever has the ball is the one who gets to speak. It's the speaking
yes.
stick. I've heard of that. Well, I've
yeah.
even had, well, a beach ball would be a great tool for this. I've actually used it where you have maybe a small ball and you toss it around to each other. So whoever catches the ball has to answer the question that's on the table from their point of view.
I've seen that activity, but if folks are like me, maybe I'm empathetic, I can't catch if I had a glove on both hands. So I've hesitated to use that approach simply because
yeah.
I don't want to put anybody at risk.
Well, a beach ball wouldn't be damaging or anything.
Right. No, that's right.
But maybe
that's
embarrassing
right.
if you realize you can't catch.
Right.
So do you have any other techniques that you wanted to share before we talk about where people can go for more information?
There are so many techniques that what I would say about techniques, even in general, kind of a blanket statement about techniques is you have to find, just like your ball example and my beach ball example, find what works for you as a facilitator of change. Not all things work for all people. I would say find things that you're comfortable with and that you can engage with easily, because if you enjoy it and feel comfortable with it, that comes across.
Right.
So what works for one person doesn't work for another. I would say find what works for you that gives you confidence, and then those are the things to embrace. So when it comes to techniques, pick and choose carefully.
Great. So where can the listeners go for more information or for resources?
Well, I'm a big fan of FEARS. I think people know that by now. So I would say a good resource is on the FEARS Incorporated website, or pick up a copy of FEARS Conversations. I also mentioned Visual Meetings by David Sibbett. I think that's great tools and techniques. A third resource that I think is valuable, I've purchased more copies of this. I wish I could get a commission. The book is called The Art of Focused Conversation. It is literally a recipe book of how to put together good focused conversation for a meeting. It's 100 different recipes for how do I use my time wisely, how do I open well, what questions can I ask, and how do I close well to make sure that that meeting has caused something different to happen. So that's just a tremendous resource.
Great. So the Art of Focused Conversation.
Yes. And the author of that is Brian Stanfield.
Great. Well, thanks so much. And where can people find out more about you?
I have a website. It's www.align-ed.com. I write a blog and try to put some of these ideas and best practices and lessons learned on the website. I also have many of these Spears materials and templates on the website, so that's a great place to go as well.
Great. Well, Molly, thanks so much for being here today. I've enjoyed our time here together.
Thank you. You can tell I'm just a little bit passionate about this topic. So thanks for giving me the opportunity, Heather. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here. And the next topic is coming up on Tuesday, December 17th at 11 a.m. Eastern. My guest will be Dr. Victoria Grady from Pivot Point Business Solutions. And we will be talking about measuring resistance to change with the LOE index. LOE stands for loss of effectiveness. It's a tool that she developed to measure resistance. So I'm very interested in learning more about that. In the meantime, thank you for listening to the Change Agent's Dilemma. If you'd like to find more resources to help you influence change in your organization, including individual coaching, team workshops, and upcoming training events, please visit enclaria.com. While you're there, I invite you to sign up for my monthly newsletter. Not only will you receive helpful tips, but when you subscribe, you will also receive a free chapter from my change management toolkit, the Irresistible Change Guide. Until next time, take care and best wishes for your change initiative.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!